This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. The elections in Zimbabwe at the end of July, the ones that were supposed to show the world that that country has moved beyond authoritarianism and is ready for international support and investment. Yeah, well, it hasn't. Six people were killed in protests after the candidate from the ruling party and the interim president, Emmerson Mnangagwa is his name. He won a razor-thin majority. That win is being challenged in court, though, which delayed the inauguration scheduled for yesterday. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson catches us up with the economic reality of Zimbabwe today.
Robert Mugabe has resigned as president of Zimbabwe.
November 2017, Zimbabwe's military removes President Robert Mugabe, who'd led the country since its independence in 1980.
The announcement was met with cheers by hundreds outside of parliament.
And covered by international media, CBS and NBC.
We are happy as citizens of Zimbabwe, youth in Zimbabwe, we are happy.
In Mugabe's place, his former deputy, Emmerson Mnangagwa, takes charge. Not exactly a fresh start for the country, but he immediately starts trying to fix Zimbabwe's very broken economy. Between 2000 and 2008, the country's GDP fell by half, the sharpest contraction ever for a peacetime economy. Poverty rates soared to more than 70%. In the midst of hyperinflation in 2009, the country abandoned its own currency and adopted the U.S. dollar, which helped stabilize the economy temporarily, but it hit a second bout of hyperinflation in 2017 and is now desperately short on cash. Mnangagwa knows Zimbabwe can't tackle these problems on its own.
From now on, Zimbabwe is open for business. Yes, there will be political issues, but primarily it's economics, and trade.
That language is a big change from the Mugabe days. Mnangagwa does away with a requirement that companies be majority owned by Zimbabweans. He promises to compensate white farmers for the land the government seized from them in the early 2000s. And in the run-up to the elections, all this talk starts to pique the interest of international investors.
And there have been many people scurrying around looking for opportunities in Zimbabwe.
Steve Hanke is a professor at Johns Hopkins University. He says the country used to be an agricultural powerhouse, so investors see lots of potential there. Hanke's actually mulling his own investment in Zimbabwe, building cold storage facilities for warehousing fruit.
We know there's a deficiency, and we know precisely what it is in Zimbabwe, whether it is going to be economic and feasible to actually design and construct a cold storage facility and manage it. We don't know yet.
Hanke doesn't know if the promised economic reforms will materialize or what the money and banking system might look like. Will investors be able to borrow money? Will they be able to get their money out of the country when they want it back?
And that's all in a very big state of flux now, and I would say almost a bigger state of flux after the election.
The election that was supposed to reassure investors only raised more questions.
Just 2 days after the nation went peacefully to vote, there is bloodshed and chaos.
This from the UK's Channel 4.
And an election in which Zimbabwe dared to dream has instead brought back its worst nightmares.
The new Zimbabwe actually looks a lot like the old one, says James Hamill at the University of Leicester in the UK.
The mask of reform and reasonableness, all of that fell away when lethal force was used against unarmed demonstrators and there was a serious crackdown on opposition in the country. That was a return to the past.
Many potential investors had been holding back, treating the election as a test of the government's commitment to change. Takmor Chidede is a trade and investment researcher at the Trade Law Center in Cape Town, South Africa. He says the election didn't match the government's reform rhetoric.
It sends a negative message showing the investment community that the government is not prepared or is not ready or is not committed to respect the rule of law.
Instead of a green light, investors got something more like yellow to red. The message, continue to wait and see. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.